Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 147, getting close to that 150 milestone. And this is one of your co-hosts, Stephen Zimmer, live from the Bluegrass in Central Kentucky. And joining me tonight are, from Tennessee, Daniel Dark. And at the last second, probably because he was looking at more cool things that he got in the mail, Michael West from Indianapolis. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
It is a lovely day in Tennessee today. We're here at 40 degrees today, looking at 17 in a couple of days.
Yeah, I think we're about to go haywire up here too. And but Michael's going to be cozy. Yeah, I saw you got some leather bound something or other that just came in your mail again. You get the coolest mail of all of us, I swear. Yes,
yeah,
I saw your post.
Yeah, I got Arrow Video out of England put out a collector's edition of the movie Crimson Peak with a 80-page booklet and all kinds of goodies attached to it. So
wait till Holly sees that post, because she loved Crimson Peak. So,
she will definitely go
crazy about that.
She
figured she would.
In, like, every social media outlet that I post, she loved it. So.
Well, we have a great guest tonight, and I can't wait to hear what she's got to say. I tell you, I'm looking forward to tonight's show. And we will keep the lines open for calls later in the show, but wait for me to indicate that. The folks that are listening out there, and a shout out to our international listeners and everybody else that's tuned in tonight. It's gonna be a real good one. As always, you know, we want to be fun and entertaining, fun and informative. We've got, I think, the perfect guest for that tonight. And so that's a little teaser, because she's going to be coming on here in just a couple minutes. The most exciting thing I can update you on is I've been self-teaching myself IT the last about 2 days, and getting ready to throw a computer through a window. But I did not have to do that. I 10 minutes before the show started, I finally got the new motherboard to install, to cooperate in installing Windows 10. So, great victory was just achieved 10 minutes ago. So I'm in a pretty good mood, because I was at DEFCON 4.5 at that point. So, yeah, I put out the distress call on Facebook, and I got a couple of good tips from folks on a couple of little tricks to try that I never would see in a tutorial. I mean, so a couple of really obscure things, and one of them actually worked. So it was cool. But that's what Facebook can be used for, and besides the non-productive stuff that we all see every day out there, but it can actually be used for true useful purposes, and that's one example. And so, yeah, I'll give him a shout-out, Alex Cutadine from he works in Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah, a fine fellow who spent a couple minutes chatting with me. He's an expert computer whiz. And so thank you for lowering my blood pressure before tonight's show. I would have been here anyway, don't worry. But, I'm glad to have that off my back, because, computers, they never cooperate with me. But so how are you doing, Daniel? I haven't gotten a check with you in about a week. Are you holding up good?
I'm doing pretty good right now. I feel like somebody's punched me in the ribs, but you know,
ooh,
that's just part of my life.
Oh man,
You know, it's just When the body decides it's ready to start deteriorating, fight it.
Yes. Well, you've got a lot ahead of you, young man, especially in the writing arena. So you got to stay, stick, you know, keep yourself together.
Yeah, and I went on a little road trip with a buddy of mine yesterday. We rode down to Alabama to a new smoke shop down there, and over to another one that I had been to and done a book signing at before.
Very nice.
We tried to meet, new people and get, different words out to try, boost sales a little bit. Which,
yes,
I don't know
right
about
now,
y'all, but I can always boost sales,
I work in that constantly. But book bloggers who are listening tonight, if you want to jump on a cool blog tour, Daniel Dark's blog tour is currently open for signups at tomorrowcomesmedia.com. Again, tomorrowcomesmedia.com. You can be on Daniel's blog tour, and he will visit your site talking about Knifestel, and we made a little segue with his Victorian Catch-Up Receipts of the Past book, kind of segued with that because if you didn't know, his Knifestel, of course, is a cool mix of thriller, suspense, horror, and erotica elements. And, it's a new take on Jack the Ripper, a little Jack the Ripper tale coming at you. But he's got, at the end of the book, he's got the actual recipes, the authentic recipes for the dishes that are in the novel. So, Daniel is a Victorian chef. And so, yeah, he's got this immense background there, and that's where the Victorian Catch-Up book comes from. And so the blog tour is actually going to kind of be an umbrella and cover all that. So if you want to jump on a really cool blog tour, go over to that site and come aboard because, yeah, he'll be doing some guest posts, interviews, definitely looking for reviewers and all that. And so, yeah, book blogs and reviewers, check that out because that's going to be very, very nice. And then Michael,
and not trying to toot my own horn, really. I got
nice.
I got a new 5-star review on Amazon, and that's all I've been getting on the books. So anybody else wants to give me a 5-star review, keep going with them.
Very nice. And Michael, His limited edition hardcover for Zeus's Warriors is available for pre-order. And as we announced last week, there's actually a second exclusive illustration that was added to the book. And it's a real provocative one. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And we showed
it's already caught Jessica Leigh's attention.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Speaking of our international audience, Jessica, all the way from Australia. So, yeah, she's a big fan of Michael's too. But that's an awesome little package there with the dust jacket, and it's cloth bound hardcover. It's only going to be 75 of them in existence, and you get exclusive illustrations that aren't in any of the other editions of the book. So definitely something cool for Michael.
I was just going to say, for fans of the series, the Legacy of the Gods series, these are two of the coolest illustrations we've had in any of the books.
I agree. They're awesome.
The jailbreak with the dragon illustration is one of my all time favorites. So And if you've read the book, or even if you've never read the book before, it plays with multiple genres. There's a little bit of sci-fi, fantasy, horror elements. It's not every day that you pick up a book and in one chapter you're reading about a motorcycle chase with shark men on motorcycles, and another chapter you're reading about as the aforementioned dragon breaking somebody out of prison, along with spider centaurs and griffins and Yeti and aliens, and it's a potpourri of creaturedom. So you know, and having to read back through all of the books as I wrap up the series with Kronos' Return, which I'm working on now, I'm pretty amazed that I've been able to squeeze as many different things into the series as I have, honestly. I just gave another large section of the new book to my pre-readers, and you know, I'm getting comments that the new book is the best so far. So
fantastic.
You know, I'll have to defer to them. I'm too close to it to judge at this point because I'm still in the depths of it. But that's always good to hear. So if you're just getting started on the series, you know, these hardcovers, limited edition hardcovers are you know, really cool to have. They're really durable. You won't get the creases on the spine that you get with the paperbacks. Hopefully if you've got a book that's well loved. But you know, these hardcovers are nice to have on any bookshelf, and just you know, as we've said before, the art is just, you know, beyond compare. So it's definitely worth adding to your collection if you love books, especially if you've got the limited edition hardcovers, which you know, we issued for the other two books in the series. This you're going to want this to complete your collection.
Very nice, and I've got a term for you, Michael, and Michael's Menagerie. That's your critters that are in the series. Michael's Menagerie. So there
yeah.
You go. You're welcome, and that's for free. I won't charge you for that. But
that'll be the companion bestiary that we issue.
Nice, and we do have congrats for Daniel from the chat room on your 5-star review. That's from Kenzie Michaels, who has joined us there. It looks like Holly is actually sitting in the chat room tonight, so who knows, we may even get a call from her later in the show. She's also going to be on and off, but she is in the chat room for folks that would like to participate there. And let's go ahead and turn our attention to an awesome guest tonight. And tonight, I'll give you a little teaser. She's known as the Book Writing Business Coach, and really cool stuff. I mean, she's got 30 years of professional writing and speaking experience, and she's does all kinds of professional services in the business writing and writing sphere. And she, as far as like what she does with clients and so forth, she has. As far as her experience goes, I mean, she's written, I mean, like literally hundreds of articles, and she's written books, and she's worked with all kinds of professionals to write and market books. And so as you kind of get the theme here, I mean, she's got great expertise in both the business and the writing publishing arenas. So, I mean, this is going to be a very interesting chat that we have going on tonight. And so without further ado, I do want to bring aboard Arlene Gale. Arlene, you are now on the Star Chamber Show, and welcome.
Yay! Thank you. I'm excited.
Welcome, Arlene.
Thank you. Well, and you know, I got to get something out of the way first, because you know, you say I've been in this business for 30 years, and I'm sitting here and thinking, how is that possible? I'm only 29 years old, and then I remember, oops, that's the fiction part of my life.
Well,
you've been in the business almost 30 then.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Well, it could be worse, because Daniel just had his 200th birthday just recently. So, you know, he's...
okay.
Yeah, But good to have you on the show. And yeah, we always kid Daniel because we say that he actually lived to see the Victorian era, so we give him a lot of trouble regularly about that. But good to have you
just
on the show.
Just because you're
tonight,
jealous man. Doesn't mean anything, Stephen.
But good to have you on the show because tonight, I mean, we've got a lot to explore because I know our audience is very interested. Our audience primarily is creatives, a lot of writers, authors. You know, we also have filmmakers and screenwriters and artists, musicians listen in. And it's a really nice creative audience, but they are creatives who are serious about having careers and doing well in the business aspect, and they're not afraid to talk about business terms, things like branding, and that's why I think you are a perfect guest for our audience because, you know, this is your wheelhouse. And so tell us a little bit about first of all, let's start with your writing because you've been a very successful writer yourself and had a number one best-selling book, which is, I hope I get the title right, Face Forward, Move Forward?
Correct. That was my first book. Yeah, I helped people write for like 25 years and helped write and get published and marketed, you know, a few hundred books that other people were making millions of dollars on. And then I realized, well, you know, I don't have anything with my name on it. And I went through everything that so many other writers go through. You know, I'm not good enough. Well, shoot, I'm writing for everybody else, so that's not, you know, check that off the list. I don't have time. I don't, you know, all those excuses people have for not writing, I went through them and finally slapped myself around a little bit and said, okay, stop whining and do it. And so I wrote, can you hear me okay? I'm getting a lot of static on this end.
Oh, I hear you clear on my end.
Okay. Okay, good. I'm giving myself static then, so no, okay. Somebody's always giving me static, but that's another story. That's another interview.
I understand.
Anyway, so I finally wrote my first book, Face Forward.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Uh-oh.
Are you there?
I think her.
Okay, yep.
There she is. Okay.
Yeah,
you dropped out. Sorry about that.
Yep. Okay, well, let me... I tell you. Anyway, so I finally wrote my first book that has my name on it, Face Forward, Move Forward. And it's the story of my life, and it did really well. It was the number one new release in four genres, went to number one bestseller, and stayed in the top 10 for almost a year in a couple of those genres. And then people started asking me to help them write their book. And I thought, well, sure, why not? This is kind of fun. And that's kind of how I got into the book writing business coach. And from there, I just released my eighth book. It's called Book Business Blueprint, and that's my business brand book. And it's about the business part of book writing. So it's about how do you go from a writer to a published author, whether you're writing a personal story or a professional story, and how do you, from the very beginning, create that marketing plan so you're successful when you publish. Because so many people write a book and then they start marketing or worrying about the marketing after they spent the time, money, and blood, sweat, and tears to publish, and now they can't sell their book. And that just breaks my heart. So that's why I do the business of book writing. I've got 30 years of combining the marketing and business planning with the actual book writing experience.
Where can we get that book at?
Both books are on Amazon.com, Face Forward, Move Forward, and the Book Business Blueprint. And the subtitle for that is Build Credibility, Stand Out from the Competition, and Skyrocket Sales by Writing Your Book. And it goes all the way to, you know, why do you want to write the book? Because the reason you want to write a nonfiction really does impact the content of your book. If you want to be a speaker versus, say, you want to do workshops or a one-on-one life coach, your content needs to be massaged in different ways or even laid out differently depending on why you want to write the book. And most people don't even stop to do that much reflection in advance. They just have something in their head, they have something in their heart, and they sit down and write. And then, like I said, they publish and don't know how to sell it because they haven't really focused on their why or their who. You know, we all know, you know, when I talk about who's your target market, you know, people look at me and roll their eyes. It's like, you know, when I talk in front of 100 people that react to me like my teenage sons do, where I say something and they roll their eyes. It's like, yeah, Arlene, you know, we know age, demographics, socioeconomics, educate, blah, 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 blah. But what they don't stop to think about is you know, where do you find your target market? Because if you want to do workshops or speak, you got to know where your peeps hang out, or what's the point, right? So there's a lot of depth to answering some of these questions.
And a lot of your clients, I noticed, they tend to be people that have an expertise in a certain area, and so they work with you to develop a book on that expertise that will also go with their public speaking engagements, which is such a good combination there, because it gives people something to go home with after seeing that individual speak in public. And is that typically where most of your clients come from, or do you also get some other types?
Well, I specialize in nonfiction, so I help people write their personal story or their professional story, so branding or a book that's going to feature their speaking topics so that they can get paid to speak at different events. So that's probably about 80-85% of my book coaching, but I travel all over the world teaching writing workshops, and again, most of the workshops I teach are on the business of book writing, so how do you transfer your mindset from writer to published author to authorpreneur. How do you build a fan base or an author platform before you've ever written the book? Because, you know, it's nice to have a fan base when you finally publish a book and now you want to sell it, and there's already people there who know and love you and they're ready to buy your book. So I teach a lot of that. But I also teach fiction classes. I teach world building. I teach character development. Most of the clients that I have that are in the fiction world are doing historical fiction. So, I have a toe in the fiction world and the rest of me is in the nonfiction world. I just have a passion for writing and business and helping people succeed in those areas.
And as far as branding goes, what do you think is the biggest challenge for newer authors as far as establishing a good brand? What's in your opinion?
Oh, wow. Well, can I give you two? You asked me for one, but I think there's two.
No.
One
we'll
is...
open it up. You can give a few.
Okay. Don't box me in, man. Yeah.
I won't.
So I think there's two biggest mistakes is that... are you still there?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Hello? Okay. Yeah. So one of them is that authors wait too late in the process to start building their brand, start building their connections. Because if you're wanting to write a book and you know the genre, you know the target market, you know a little bit about what you're writing, building a social media presence and making those connections to your fan base, building a website and having some sort of mechanism for gathering an email list, all of those things can be done before you've written the book. So many people think that social media is just for marketing, but there's that relationship element also. And if you can write and be sincere and be true to who you are and talk about your business in a way that's not sell, 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 you develop a fan base, like I said, who's there to buy your book when it's finally written because they've developed that connection with you. I think the second biggest mistake that writers make is that they don't have a clear picture of why they're writing the book, what they want to do with the book, and who their competition is. I hear all the time, sadly, oh, I don't have any competition. This is a new concept. This is a new this, you know, and the little voice in my head says, you know, denial, you know. There is no new ideas. We just recycle old ones and we put new twists on them, or we present them in a way that's different or better or more unique. But so many people write books and they don't understand who their competition is, and not because we want to go out and duke it out, but because you want to know how can you do better, how can you do different, and how do you then turn that into an advantage. So those are the two biggest mistakes I see that writers make in the business world.
And you mentioned as far as like helping building up their presence, you mentioned email lists, and that's been one of the things that so many people talk about, okay, which social media outlet's the one to use, what tool to use, what's this, what that. You mentioned email lists. Why do you find email lists valuable in today's social media climate?
Okay, well, that is a great question, because it doesn't matter what social media platform you're on, and if you have 100 connections or followers or friends or, you know, whatever you want to call them, because you don't own them. You don't own access to any of them. And if you do something on any social media platform that you get kicked off of, and you have, let's say you have 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 followers, you lose all of that. And if that social media platform is the only way that you're connecting with your fan base or your target market, you know, I can hear flushing sounds because that's where your business is going, you know, that you've lost everything. You put all your eggs in one basket, to use a cliche which writers are not supposed to use. But anyway, so that's why it's so important to take that information from the people who know you and love you and want to buy your book and own those connections yourself. And you, quote unquote, own them when you bring them to your website, when you have some sort of way that you can gather their name and email so that you can communicate with them directly. And, you know, people look at me, again, they roll their eyes and say, well, Facebook's not ever going to kick me off. Well, yeah, they will. And, you know, I've got a client who is writing a book, and she had been using the word violence in her posts, and she got thrown off of Facebook. And she's writing a book educating people about domestic violence and how to report it or how to get out. So it's not like she's going out and inciting a riot or anything like that and that kind of violence. But, you know, the computers don't look at content. They only are set up so the algorithms look for words. So they don't care that she's trying to educate people about domestic violence. They just see violence and they throw her off. And it took her 5 months to get her account reactivated on Facebook. So that does happen. And, you know, at my age, I can think of there's several social media platforms that existed 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago that no longer exist. So having social media platforms disappear is not out of the realm of reality. It's, you know, been done. So it's really, really important that every, you know, a website for an author or anybody, any business, should be the hub of their wheel. And everything that they do in social media or when they speak or when they sign books, everything should draw people back to your website, because that's the only thing as a business person that you really have control over. And that's why your mail list there is so important.
Because the the deplatforming is really bothersome. Deplatforming is a big concern of mine, because even when you're writing about legitimate topics, even that can get you in hot water. I mean, you could be a person that writes about certain religion. You could be a person that writes about a topic like, you know, guns or self-defense. I mean, there's a number of topics that, you know, could be, you know, raise somebody's ire out there for, you know, no real good reason, but then that person goes, complains, next thing you know, you're deplatformed, and it can happen.
Right.
And not talking about even people that are radical. It's not radical. I'm talking about, like you said, just very, you know, very mainstreamy kind of, content. And yeah, that's a real threat. And, you know, cause that's definitely a topic that I have a passion for keeping an eye on. And, I think it's great advice that you give there. And Daniel, you're about to ask a question.
Well, I was actually going to pile onto that too. One thing that we've talked about many times on here is, like with Facebook, you know, I've got around 6,000 people on Facebook, on my personal Facebook and stuff. And, you know, but that only equates to about, when I post something, maybe 100 people seeing it.
Yes.
So, you know, but with like your email and stuff like that, if you post something on email, at least you know that that's going to make it to their email box.
Right. If you've got 100 people on your mail list, 100 people are going to get your newsletter. If you've got 100 people on Facebook, you know, only 1 or 2% of those people are going to get that post. And some people think that if you like a post, that's going to push it up so it gets more exposure. It really doesn't. The only way to get more exposure for a post is to share it or to comment on it. And even at that, you might share or you might comment, and that reactivates the post so that it may reach another 1 or 2%. But, you know, doing all of that work, your post on a good day in a perfect world may reach 10% of the people who are your friends or followers. You're
yep.
not hitting everybody with every post.
Like I said, you know, mine, I've got, you know, I've got almost 6,000 or got around 6,000 people on Facebook. And when I post something, you know, in between 100 to 200 people may actually see it.
Exactly right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
Michael,
why I teach how, that's why I teach what I teach about, you know, people talk about books. There are different types of books used for different purposes. And one of the things that I teach is you should have a website, and you should have a website-based book, which is a gimme. So, like, if you go to the homepage, the bottom of my homepage on thebookwritingbusiness.com, you will get a free giveaway that's the 5 top steps to starting to write your book. And what I do with that book is I give potential clients a giveaway, a freebie, that gives them exposure to who I am and what I do, but it also allows me to get their name and email address. So if I'm going to speak in an area, I can sort everybody who's in Kentucky or Tennessee, and I can say, okay, send this email to them saying I'm speaking at this event, come see me or come meet me. Or I can send something out saying, okay, I'm doing this workshop, and send it to everybody on my list. But I control all of that through my website, and that is the key. The website, I think, is the marketing tool for any business, especially writers.
And in your book and everything, do you have any type of tutorial on how to do that, or is that something that you don't get into?
No, in the book writing or the book business blueprint, those are topics that I talk about and why it's important. I do go into, in the book business blueprint, I do talk a little bit about, you know, people slap up a website and they don't really understand what the difference between a home page and an about page is. And they're very different. They serve different purposes. So I talk about that. I do talk about the different types of books, because people talk about books. Well, you've got a website-based book that's designed to be a freebie, a giveaway, that lives on a website. It's not designed to be published. Its whole reason for living is to, so that you can collect your email and build your email list. It's a mini marketing book that's also a giveaway, but it's a paperback, you know, little 3x5 or 4x6, and then you have a 100-page tip book, or you have the big bestseller. So there's different kinds of books that serve different purposes for marketing and credibility and things like that. But, and yes, all of those things are covered in the book business blueprint. It's all about the business of writing a book. And it applies whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction.
Well, one of the things that from what I looked at on your website and stuff that I understand, you're actually doing coaching with authors, right?
Yes, I am.
What do you do about, say, an author that doesn't think they deserve to, you know, have a book?
Oh, wow. You just touched on, yeah, one of my you just pushed one of my buttons. Because, you know, I think in my world and based on my experience, and I talk about this a lot in my book, Face Forward, Move Forward, is none of us really think we deserve very much. And if it's important to us, or if it has a perceived value, most people will think, I don't deserve that. Well, you know what? That kind of stinking thinking comes from labels we've picked up and negative self-talk we've picked up from other people. And that becomes our choice as to whether or not we want to continue to believe that way or do something different. So when people talk to me about deserving or what they want or what they don't want or what they can have or what they can't have, one of the things I coach on is, okay, so you don't want this or you don't think you deserve this. Well, we're not going to look at that because, you know, your head and your feet are pointed in the same direction for a reason. And if your head is looking over your shoulder at what you don't want or what you can't have or what you don't deserve, guess what? Your whole body is going to follow where you're looking, and that's the direction you're going to go. And you're always going to think, I don't deserve this. I can't do this. I'm not good at, I'm not this. I'm not that. Well, so what I coach is, what do you want instead? You know, if you feel undeserving or incapable, or do you want to write this book? And if you want to write this book, then we're not going to talk about all that other stuff. We're going to take it and we're going to break the process down step by step, what I call bite-sized pieces, and we're going to make, I'm going to set you up for success, because this is, has nothing to do with deserving or not deserving. This has to do with what is your commitment, what is your passion, and are you willing to trust me to take you one step at a time from beginning to end? Because to me, that's what it's really about. You know, if you have a story in you, there are ways to get it out and ways to make it work if you believe that you can. And so, you know, there's a couple different answers to that, what seemed to be a simple question. But to me, it's not about deserving. It's about how much time and energy and passion are you going to put into your project? Because if that's the way you want to focus, then that's the way I can take you.
Cool.
Very cool. Michael, did you have anything to ask just yet, or are you absorbing?
I've been absorbing, but back to a couple of things that we've touched on already. The whole thing about with Facebook, and one reason why I kind of gravitated away from my page, and I still have it, as far as with the official page, is that Facebook wants you to pay for this and pay for that and pay for this and it just becomes counterproductive after a while. But the website and having links to freebies and whatnot has always been something that I've used on my page and had some success with. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. The other thing that I wanted to touch on is what do you do or what advice do you have or how do you kick someone in the rear who thinks that I've written the book and now I'm done. There's nothing more that I need to do.
Oh, well, that goes back to one of the things that I think about when I interview a client, because, you know, I'm blessed. I don't have to take knotheads that want me to work harder for them than they are willing to work. So one of the things that I do is, you know, I ask questions so that I can try and get a feel for, is this person coachable? Are they teachable? And I can learn that by I've developed a system of some questions that I can ask. And, you know, if I get somebody who wants me to edit their manuscript, for example, and they say, well, I've already had it read by 5 or 6 people, but I think I want to have it read by somebody else. It's like, okay, so send me the first 30 pages and let me look at it. And I don't know who read their manuscript, because in the first 30 pages, they offended everybody in their target market. You know, so their mom and dad and brother and sister and their best friend, their neighbor, they don't have marketing expertise. So it may be true in their world that all women are blanks and all men, below 5 feet are this or, all this or that. I mean, all of that negativity may absolutely positively be 100% true in their world. But I don't recommend, and I will not work with somebody who insists that that's the way they want to write and publish a book, because they, 30 pages of a 200-page book, and they've totally destroyed their target market. That is not a good thing, So, if I talk to them and I tell them that, and they say, well, screw you or whatever, then I'm not going to work with them because they're not teachable, and I'm not going to put my name on that kind of work. But, if they whimper a little bit and they squirm and they say, okay, so how can you help me? Well, yeah, then I'm going to help them, because that to me says that, they're willing to take that first 30 pages and go create a bonfire and sing Kumbaya over it and consider it a good therapy session and then do something that's going to actually help them build their business and build their credibility as opposed to destroy it. So everybody I work with has to have that coachability and that willingness to learn. Now, that doesn't mean that I go into working with clients that I'm right and they're wrong, because, I'm wrong a couple times a day, and if you don't believe me, I could give you the phone numbers for my teenage sons, that was a true confession. That
you're wrong, forever until they get old enough to decide that, oh, Mom knew better than what I thought she did.
Well, you know, my oldest son is 23, and I go to bed every night praying that I live long enough for him to know that I'm not as dumb as a rock. So, you know, let's see how long that lasts. Anyway, but back to the professional world. You know, it has to be a give and take. I'm willing to see their point of view. I'm willing to talk. I'm willing to do research. I'm willing to say, yeah, you may have something there. But it is a give and take. A coaching is not, I know everything and you know nothing. It's what do you bring to the table? What do I bring to the table? And how do we work together to help you produce the best possible product? Because, you know, what I like to say is I have a passion for writing and marketing, and you have a passion for blank. So let's let my passion and your passion come together and make the perfect product. Because it has to be a win-win scenario. I can't do business with people who want to win and get joy out of seeing me lose, and I don't do business that way either. So the short answer, that was the long answer. The short answer is when you enter a business relationship with somebody, both sides should be teachable, should be willing to work and listen to make the best possible outcome.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest, when people ask me for assistance with, reading something, critiquing something, whatnot, you know, if I offer a critique and it's, you know, five arguments as to why that critique is wrong, you know, and they don't take it to heart, then I know
right.
that I'm not going to be able to help them. But, you know, it's like if you ask for help, you need to be willing to accept that help.
Right. Well, and I want to add two things real quick. One thing is, you know, if people hire me, then they pay me good money to coach them. Then the way I see it is you paid for that abuse, you know, so
right.
you paid for a kick in the butt, you know, I'm sorry. You all have not known me very long, but you know that I'm kind of, hopefully you're hearing that I'm a no-nonsense kind of girl, and I'm very passionate about what I do. But, you know, if you talk to me and we do several pre-work interviews, pre-hire interviews, and you don't get that and you don't understand that you're paying me to hold you accountable or to kick you in the rear if that becomes necessary, well, then shame on both of us, you know?
You're like a personal trainer for the writer out there.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. But the other thing I talk about when I do workshops for people who are thinking or wanting to write a book is one of the biggest fears they have is, you know, what are other people going to think about me? What are other people going to think about my book? Or, you know, I have people say, well, I told my sister or my brother that I wanted to write this book, and they asked me, well, who do you think you are that you can write a book? Well, here's my response, and this is a freebie, you know, no extra charge for this, guys. But what I tell people is that there are people you're going to meet in the world that just don't get you. They're not going to like you. They're not going to like anything you do. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You're just never going to win them over. And so what I tell people to do is you look that person in the eye, you stand up tall, you put both feet firmly on the ground, you know, put up your dukes if you have to, and then you look them in the eye, you smile, and you say, thank you. Because they just did you a huge favor. I just told you they're not in your target market, so don't waste your time with them anymore, right? Just say thank you and move on, because there's 90% of the population that does want to hear what you have to say. Don't waste your time with that 10%. Thank you and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, deep breath off my soapbox now.
No, I love
it.
You are a true Texan. I have to say, I went to school in Abilene, Texas, in West Texas. Hardin Simmons
yeah.
University is where I finished college, and I read that you were you live in North Texas, and I was like, yeah, you do sound like a Texan with your fiery fiery passion. It's refreshing.
Yeah, you know, Well, thank you. Yeah, I don't. You know, I've been told you love too hard, you work too hard. Well, you know, if that's the worst thing people are going to say about me, then doggone it, I'm doing just fine.
Right. Well, you find a very receiving audience with our group, because that's how our listeners are. It's how we are. We're definitely believing, putting in the work and being accountable for sure. And I'm glad you brought up the accountability factor too. I'd seen that in your biography, but that's a huge thing as far as the coaching side goes. And that's awesome. And
thank you.
Getting back a little bit to branding, though, what do you think the characteristics? We talk a little bit about with writers and so forth that you are your brand. How do you respond to that? And does that fit with how you talk about branding? And then, what are the characteristics of a good brand for one of your clients? What are some general characteristics when you feel they've attained a good brand? What does that need to be?
Oh, that's all you want to know, huh? That's all. I
just know the topic comes up a lot with our group, so that's something I definitely know they want to hear about.
Well, and I agree, and, I initially began, I was branded as Arlene Gale, and my business platform is Arlene Gale LLC, and under that brand, I do technical writing, I do publishing, I do book writing and coaching, and I'm a speaker. So I have all of those different little niches or drawers that I keep my expertise in, but my brand is still me. When you want to talk to somebody, you're not talking to the book writing business coach. You're not talking to of this book. You're talking to me, Arlene Gale. And I'm very passionate about that, because me as the speaker or the author, I'm the one that owns the ethics, the morality, the skills that go into anything that I'm doing. And so I've actually talked to authors who put up web pages and who do things based on the book that they've written. And the book titles will come and go. They may or may not be remembered, even if they're trademarked and you've got a whole series worth of things. It's really about the human being, the human connection that I think the brand should be tied to. I get arguments about that all the time, and that's okay. I can take it. But that's my philosophy. Did that answer part of that question?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yeah, I was just definitely curious to get your take on that. And Daniel, Michael, any comments on that part of things?
No, I mean,
I
agree. Yeah, I agree, because, I've been told by people that I ought to do this, that, and the other as far as, like, with a specific book or cater my, or shift my website or whatnot around a specific thing. And I'm like, well, that's just one book. There are more books to come, and there have been books before that. But I'm the author, so it's
right.
My website.
Well, and it's you're the person, and I want to, at least for me, when people work with me or when I work with somebody else, I want to know, do our personalities match? Do our ethics match? Not just morally, but our work ethics? Do the way we treat people match? I mean, I had one client that every time I had to do a coaching call, I would get physically sick because this guy cussed me out every time I got on the phone. So I finally got, I actually put in my contract that I reserve the right to cancel the contract if you start cussing at me, because that's not how I treat people. And I don't mean those occasional, people who use the F word as, as part of good morning, hello, I love you. I mean, I'm talking about the vehement, ugly kind of cussing. It is a word. I'm talking about the people who are mean-spirited. Life's too short. I don't want to work with those kind of people. I don't want to be that kind of person.
Right.
So I'm willing to work hard, but I want, at the end of the day, I want to sign my name, Arlene Gale, to what I've done. I'm not going to put author of Face Forward, Move Forward, author of Business Blueprint. I am Arlene Gale, and I stand for something. I just read a great quote lately, and I'm beginning to really kind of fall in love with Winston Churchill. But the most recent quote that I heard of his was, so you have enemies? That's great. That means you took a stand on something.
I love that quote.
Right.
That's one of my personal favorites. Oh, man, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I love that because I take stands. I do not like mean people. I don't like whiners. If you come to me and you're whining and I can help you reframe that whining so that you can become a success, I'm all for that because sometimes people are damaged and they need the help. And I'll get in the ring and I'll fight hard for them as long as they stand beside me and they're willing to be teachable. But if you just want to whine, let's go to a bar and have a rosé because I don't want to hear whining all the time. Life's too short.
Oh, I agree.
Another soapbox. But also your branding needs to be consistent. You asked about, that part of the branding. It needs to be consistent. So no matter who you or what you're doing, whether for me it's speaking or whether it's a keynote or a workshop or whether I'm working one-on-one with a client, everything I do is based on my combining writing and marketing services. There are other book writing coaches out there. What makes me different is most of them just want you to publish a book so your name's on a front cover. I want you to go through the writing and publishing and everything that goes along with that and being able to sell your book so that you didn't spend all that time breathing life into your characters, creating your world, doing all those things that we know go into a book, and then it just sits there and nobody knows it exists or nobody cares. I want your book writing and publishing to be something that's going to lead to success. That's my whole entire goal is how do I help you be successful at what it is you want to do? And that's my branding, and that's what I use for my target market. And I have a very specific target market. I work with people who are probably 40 and older. It's not that I can't work with people who are younger. It's just that that's my niche because they're people, for example, who have been downsized by corporations. And they're too young to retire, but they've got a lot of great knowledge. They're on their That's just been my niche. I've had people in their late 20s come to me to ask me to help them. Can I help them? Well, absolutely. It's just not where I focus my target market. So my branding, and I think everybody's branding needs to be very consistent about, who is your target market, where do you find them, and what is your why, and how are you better or different than your competition? It has to be consistent across all platforms.
Because that can be very challenging for some of the writers that we see, especially ones like me. We know some authors that are excellent writers of young adult fiction, and they also happen to be great writers of erotica. Obviously, they have pen names that they use for one brand versus the other because they can't market them under the same banner. Some, it gets a little more complex because they have to maintain that consistency in both, both names. And it can get a little more complex, but the gist of it is definitely the same. Yeah.
Yeah, but they still have the humanity, the person, the author to hang that on. To be a part of that. So regardless of which pen name they're using, and there are a lot of big name authors that use pen names to cross into different genres like that, so they're not causing problems between one or the other. But it still stays the same. If you're writing as ABC to the young adult market, then everything you do across social media or on the website or in those books is true to that target market. If you're writing sci-fi or historical fiction or erotica, then and you're writing under a pen name, then that person who is the pen name needs to have a personality, still needs to have an ethics, a platform, and everything that's true to speak to that target market. People like that, are just smarter than I am because I don't know if I could handle that kind of split personality because there are some days I'm not sure what my name is. dealing with two or three of names is like, Anyway, I think the branding issues still stay true.
Well, we have our first call.
I
knew you couldn't hold off.
Myself, so.
Daniel could probably guess who this is because I knew she couldn't hold off from calling in because I knew that she's loving everything that Arlene's been saying tonight. So I have to unmute her right now, and I have to bring aboard the one and only Holly Phillippe. Hello.
I was going to say, is that Holly? Hi, Holly. It's her fault you guys are dealing with me tonight. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm telling you, me and you are going to get along famously. Oh my God!
Oh yeah.
The boys, they know. They know I'm a fire rocket, and I love it because you know you said no whining, cracks me up because
yeah.
I tell my grandkids I don't have whiny babies. Mammy don't allow
yeah.
whiny babies, and it goes
yeah.
the same with like because we run a press, you know, and some of our authors, you know, I just want to hang them up and just choke them because. You know, whine. What's like, you know, get up off your ass and actually do something instead of whining. You know, that's
yeah.
I try not to whine so much.
Okay, here, Holly. This is a parenting tip for your clients or for your whoever. You know, I had an egg timer and I'd set an egg timer for 30 seconds and I would sit on the chair and my little kids would sit on the floor and I would give them 30 seconds to whine. And then when the egg timer went off, it's like, okay, so now what are you going to do about it? And that seemed to work a little bit, you know, pretty well because they knew they had a time limit to whine, and then that's it, I'm done.
There you go. That's an idea. So the next time, you know, somebody starts whining, I'll be like, well, okay, you got 30 seconds, and then it's my turn. It's my turn.
Yeah, because you don't want to be known as a – you don't want to be a dictator. You know, you want to give them a little bit of time.
That's
but
me.
30 seconds, girl, that's all the whining I can stand.
Stephen always says I'd make a horrible queen. Because I'm telling you, we'd have a lot less population, let me tell you.
Off
with their heads. That's right, off with their heads. Light them up. I call Daniel in, do some, you know, Jack the Ripper, you know.
Hey, Holly, check your volume. You're a little light on your end as far as your phone.
See, I'm actually light.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds a little bit light, yeah.
Holy moly.
Which I know is not you, so.
For you,
I
Holly,
say,
it's
I've
light
never been accused
it.
Of being soft.
I was going to say, is that better? Is that better?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, that's a little bit better. Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody can hear
you. Okay, now, is that better? Better?
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
A little bit? Okay. Because I can't believe I'm not loud because that's me. I'm always loud. It's these new headphones here. Maybe
you didn't put
I'm,
the bonnet down too low, did you?
That's probably
turn the bonnet around.
The headphones are yeah. the headphones are
fill
Arlene. The
I'll have to send her the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll fill
and,
Arlene
and for
in
all you
later
listeners,
on Holly.
You've now
legend.
Entered the podcasting 101 portion of the show.
That's right. I just want you to be able to hear me. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
No, I did like Arlene's point where you talked about, because I'm not a fan of freebies. A lot of authors want to give away, like, all their books just to get their ratings up. And that's just telling people, okay, I don't find value in my work. You know, here's free. But to put, like, one for free to build your email list and to get your target audience, that's brilliant.
Well, and Holly, that freebie that goes on your website is not one of your books. It's not one of the books that you've written. It may be something that it's a PDF file, and it may be a 10 or 15 or 20-page interview with your characters. It's something that's above and beyond or outside of your book. So what it does is it gives somebody an introduction or something that has to do with your world or your books or you as an author that they wouldn't necessarily get in the book. So when I work
right.
with fiction writers to do this site-based book, you know, I tell them, so interview the authors or write about if you're dealing with a world that you've made up. Write about that world. What are the political, socioeconomics, education factors? the environment? What does the temperature or the weather look like? Tell us about your world, and then tell us how your character fits or doesn't fit in that world, and how does that translate to the plot line? So the website-based book that you're giving away for free is something different than your book. It's an extra.
I see that that would make sense. Yeah, that's like an extra bonus, a gift for them to sign up. And I think that's genius because, you know, everybody wants something for free these days. And it devalues the person. It devalues the artist. It devalues the art.
Right.
Whether it, you know, it's paintings or books or music or whatever. And I said, you know, I'm just not a fan of the freebies, but I like that idea. Because I think email lists are the ticket.
Yeah. So the website-based book is, instead of saying freebie, let's reframe it this way. It's kind of a value-added extra. How's that
there
for a euphemism for free?
There you go. I like that. I like that a lot. Yes. I'm going to change headset. So you guys go on and see if that don't help.
Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think Holly brought up a good point, though, and that's the perception of value in today's market and how authors for so long were just giving away everything for 99 cents, everything for free. And I've thought for a long time that that's affected the way readers and the public have perceived the value of books. I'd like to hear you actually kind of talk about that a little bit in terms of perception of value and how authors can maybe get people to perceive their work, you know, in a higher light, or what do we need to do to get people to, you know, see that, yeah, our stuff is worth that $3.99, $4.99 price tag.
Mm-hmm.
Or higher.
Part of it is that it's incumbent on the author to provide value. So, you know, there's a perception in the marketplace right now that technology and systems exist that anybody can publish a book. Yeah, I got to tell you, from my perspective, it doesn't mean you should, you know. There is some real poo-poo out on the market, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm trying to be really nice about this. So part of it is the first step is the author needs to provide value. Well, you know, people
mm-hmm.
like you all and me and Holly, we're working at a top end of the marketplace, and we understand value. I was shocked. Three or four years ago, when I started helping people write books, that quality was not in the top 10 words of what they wanted to produce in a book. And that just floored
right.
me, because for me, that's like number one, because writing a book can increase your business, can increase your credibility, but if
mm-hmm.
it's crap, it's still crap. And it can
mm-hmm.
do quite the opposite. It can damage your credibility, and I don't care if you're writing fiction or nonfiction. And so that's the first part of that, is the author needs to work to make sure they put together a good quality product, and that they get past their own ego, and they get editing done, and that they do all the marketing
mm-hmm.
stuff up the front, and that lays out a roadmap or a business plan for the direction that they're headed with their brand. There's that word again, brand and book. So that's
mm-hmm.
the first thing. The other thing is I think, yeah, I mean, we got to stop giving things away. I mean, doctors don't give you a sample of the heart surgery.
Right,
you know,
on.
Right?
Right on. Daniel, that's all about that. They don't give you samples of blood, do they, Daniel?
No,
no,
they charge
for
every
everything.
Bit of it.
They charge exorbitant rates.
The first
so.
Bite's free, Daniel.
I can get free blood, but they keep fussing about it every time I do, you know.
yeah. I guess I can kind of see that. Anyway, but yeah, so that's the first. You know,
does Arlene
part
have
of,
any idea what we're talking about?
No, I have no idea, and you know that I am smart enough that I didn't ask any questions.
Any questions, that's my best, yes.
Yeah, my mama taught me if you can't stand the answer, don't you be asking the question.
Wise woman.
And since this is a professional conversation, I am trying to steer it back in a professional direction, even though I do want to have that conversation, but maybe that's a different interview. Anyway.
I'll give you a quick answer to it, Arlene. I had over 20 units of blood put in me last year.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. I'm not good at biology and I'm not good at math, but I think that's quite more than what the human body normally carries, isn't it?
Yes. He had like a few people's amount of blood he actually put into him. Yeah, it was several times, but yeah.
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 There's none of the original left in him at this point.
No.
Yikes. Okay, so my personal and professional advice is don't do that again. Whatever you did, don't do it again.
Wasn't on the plan to start with and everything, but, you know, whatever.
Yikes.
Arlene is going to say, oh, why did I get myself into that? Welcome to Seven Star Press, Arlene.
Yeehaw.
I do got a question for you. Have you ever actually worked with a press? Because we are Seven Star Press. Michael and Daniel are authors of ours, and of course Stephen does write too. Have you ever once in a while Stephen writes, pops them out right and left, but. Have you ever actually, worked with, a small press?
I have. You know, part of my business, you know, I've always said I want to start a publishing company, my own publishing company, but, you know, that's just not where my passion is, and right now I'm having so much fun working with authors and speaking and teaching that hasn't been something that I do. But for me, as part of my business plan, it seems really silly and selfish to help somebody write a manuscript and then go, hey, that's a great manuscript, dude. Now go away, kid. You're bothering me. You know, they got a great manuscript, but now what? I have developed some relationships with some hybrid publishers. I do help clients write proposals. I've got a couple of clients who have recently taken the proposal and gotten mainstream contracts. I run the gamut of working with publishers and different agencies and different types of press media. I write press releases. I write magazine articles.
You do all that pro bono, right?
No. Yeah, you know what? I used to give things away, but I've earned my stripes. I've done my time, and I think that everybody should be in a place where they can, you know what it feels like to be able to give stuff away to earn their stripes. But also, you know, one of the workshops I do is, so you want to write the great American novel, but you still got to pay the rent. So, go and beat the bushes to figure out how you can write to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So these days, it's got to be something that's my passion. So, for example, I am a coach and mentor for several middle school and high school robotics teams. I teach speech writing to high school kids. I teach marketing to middle school kids. So that's where my passion, that's where my pro bono work goes. But, no, everything else, you know, in God we trust, everybody else pays cash. Or credit card.
Right.
Yes. Cash preferably.
Yeah. But I want to go back real quick because you talked about giving away things for free. I think authors need to value their work and stop doing that. And when you look on Amazon or something else, I tell people if the author's giving it away for free, it makes me question the value that they see in what they're doing. And so if it's free, I won't even take it, you know, because they're telling me is that there's no value here. And that may or may not be true. That's just my bias, you know.
Uh-huh. No, I agree. I think that's the persona it puts off, you know. It's like, well, I don't find myself valuable enough to, you know, actually put a value on my work. And that's scary because with the market being as flooded as it is, like, you know, you were touching on earlier, there's a lot of crap out there, and it's a truth. And then you have these other authors, there's a lot of crap that shouldn't be, authors should never put out. But then you got the other side where you've got these authors that write by a system, and they're popping out books just bam, 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 and not caring about the quality. They're wanting a bunch of quantity, but they're not caring about the quality. And then eventually that's going to be their demise, because people are going to get tired of reading crap, you know, and they're doing it to themselves.
Now, we're not going to accuse Stephen of doing that, but, you know, I've read his books. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Well, you know, Stephen pops them out, but they're actually quality.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, rules, and there's exception to every rules. But, you know, I went to a meeting recently where somebody was bragging about this person who had 50 books. So I thought, 50 books? They're my age. How the heck did they have time to write 50 books? And so I go to look at them up, and they're all between 90 and 100 pages. Well, you know what? I teach elementary school kids 50 or 100 pages. To me, that's a marketing tip book. That's a marketing tool.
Right.
That is not a big bestseller. There are differences in the number of words and where the books fit in the category. And I'm with you. Uh-huh. Somebody asked me, so why haven't you written 50 books? It's like, well, number one, that's not my goal. And number two, I believe in quality over quantity. I would rather tell you that I've written 8 books that have gone to bestseller status in their genre, that's another story, than to tell you I've written 50 books that have done nothing. They're just listed on Amazon.com, period. No, I mean,
there you go.
But there's so much, I know this will surprise you guys, but, you know, there's a lack of ethics in this business by some people, and that just drives me nuts.
And that makes it hard on the rest of us. Yeah, that's the truth.
I know. Well, let me tell you a little story. My book business blueprint is listed under the business consulting category. And I was told, oh, don't put your book there. You can't compete with those big guys. You know, and I thought, you know, in my adult life, I've held my own, or I've done something different, but I have never compromised my ethics. So I'm going to put it in business consulting. Well, I did a big bestseller push. And in 12 hours, this book went in the business consulting category to best new release and number one bestseller. And it was on the bestseller status for weeks.
Nice.
Okay, well, don't tell me I can't do something, because I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
then about a week or two later, I had this guy call me, and we started talking about he just published a book, and it did very well. It was a bestseller. So, you know, I'm always kind of, you know, trying to make sure people are telling me the whole truth and not, you know, not bits and pieces that suit their needs. So I get on Amazon and I look this author up and I look up the name of the name of the book. Well, this guy wrote a business book and he put it under the genre of pet flies, because somebody told him, don't put the book under business consulting because you'll never be able to compete. Put it in an obscure genre category so that then you can market yourself as a number one bestseller.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
Wow.
I mean, and you know, he may think everybody's stupid, but I just don't believe people are. And that's going to come back to bite him sometime.
It's going to, because people like us will look it up. We will look up to see, you know, if it's on the up and up, and to look into it. So,
well,
I mean,
it's like that author that basically bought their way onto the New York Times bestseller list a year or two ago.
Yeah. I'd rather be mediocre and ethical than to be a liar and, you know, and fraud and deal with that. It's just life's too short. Anyway, so, you know, work hard and take credit for what you do, whatever that happens to be.
Yeah, that's it. And people are going to respect you then, and they're going to want to buy your next book. But when they find out that you're being devious and lying, you know, and doing, you know, things like that, then you're going to lose your whole target audience. There it goes. Bye-bye, you know.
Right.
And then that's you're going to go nowhere.
Yeah. And this is someone whose brand is based on that book and being a number one bestseller. Yeah. His brand is not who he is, you know, or if it is, that's going to come back to bite him in the butt. So be ethical, because, you know, it may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but somehow, somewhere, when it's least opportune or what is going to cause the most damage, people are going to figure it out. And I just I don't want to treat people that way. So, you know, if you if you write a book, make it a good book, that's your part of the bargain, and then value your work and value who you are and write what you're passionate about. And then you'll find your peeps. Your peeps will come to you. Just be patient and market and brand properly, and it will happen if you live up to your end of the bargain as an author. I know it to be true. I've been doing it for 30 years. I've done it for hundreds of clients, and I duplicate these results. Be true to yourself and value your work.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have some, as far as your clients go, do you have a story or two? You don't have to use names, but of people that have come to you that, you know, maybe were, you know, not confident about what they were capable of, but, you know, became your big success stories under you. And what were some of the, you know, little note, you know, notes along the way of watching their transformation under your tutelage? If you'd like to share a story or two in that area, I would love to hear it.
Well, I've got a client right now. You know, everybody says that you can't get a mainstream publisher if you don't have hundreds of thousands of followers, or you don't have this, or you don't have that. Again, I hate the word don't. Don't tell me what I can't do or what I don't do or what to not do. That just makes me more eager to prove you wrong. Sorry, that's insight into my personality. But so I have a client, and we put together a proposal, and we submitted to, you know, several publishers, and, you know, no. And, you know, you start to get depressed, and you start to think, okay, well, we need to exercise other options. And then somebody picked up the book. And, you know, getting a cash advance getting a decent cash advance is pretty unheard of. But this person, based on the proposal, got a great mainstream publisher, got a huge cash advance, and the book's not even written yet. We're in the process of writing the book now. So she already got like half her cash advance, and we're just now writing the book. But, again, that's with people saying you can't do this, you shouldn't do that, don't even try. Well, if you don't try, you never know. So don't be in a hurry to just publish. Do it in a way that honors who you are and honors your work. So that's one. I have another client who wants to be a speaker, and she had been speaking locally, and somebody told her, you need to write your story. And it just so happened that somebody else sitting at a table in the restaurant next to her said, here, and gave her my card, contact this woman. So I'm co-authoring her book, and we put together a mock-up of the cover. We were about 70% done with the book. We put together the mock-up of the cover, and we released the cover on social media, and just by releasing her, now this woman is speaking throughout the United States. We're excited about the book coming out. And so this is where I say, don't wait till you write and publish a book to start marketing and start gaining that momentum, because this woman's gaining a bigger and bigger and bigger audience just based on the release of the cover and the book title. And so when the book comes out, she's already got all these people ready to buy the book.
Nice.
I mean, you know, and people come to me all the time about, well, I want to write a book, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start, or I've got this idea, or, you know, I've got this idea, and this one would be easy, and this one would be hard, but I really want to write the hard one, but I don't know how to start. You know, so people, I mean, this is not what they know. It is what I know. So when people talk to me about their book, I can see it laid out in my head, and I can start outlining it and putting it together. And that's creepy to some people. It scares them because they don't think that way. But I can see the possibilities. And sometimes it's just about asking the right questions about, why is it hard for you to think about writing that book? Well, sometimes it's hard because it's emotionally hard. Sometimes it's hard because they know enough information to feel like they can be dangerous, but they don't know enough to flesh it out, or they don't know where to go to flesh out the concept. There are people who want to write nonfiction about a real story, but they don't have all the facts and they can't find them. So but they really, really want to write that story. Well, then we write it as historical fiction, or we take the skeleton that you have and we turn it into a fiction story. So there's just so many ways to channel that creativity if you want to go in that direction. But, you know, none of us should do this alone, because there are things you guys know. I know I'm going to give you this credit. There are things you guys know that I don't know, but there are things that I know that maybe you don't know. And maybe if we come together, whatever we produce in the end is going to be better because of the synergy of working together. Everything becomes bigger and better than the sum of the parts, and I firmly believe that. Don't go it alone. Find people who can help you, whether that means finding somebody who knows the technology or something else.
That's what we always refer to as your tribe. You surround yourself with the tribe. Yes, with the people, you know me, with the people that are competent, have similar goals, like-mindedness, you know, and the ethics that you do. That's who you surround yourself, and positivity. You don't, there's so much negativity in this world. Get rid of the people around you that bring more, you know, distance yourself, because there's just too much. And it's not going to add anything to your business. You want people that are positive and that are go-getters. And, you know, that's what you want. And like-minded like you. And then you help each other, because where one lacks, the other one makes up, and vice versa.
Right. Or you know somebody that can help me with this project. Or I know somebody that can help you with that project. So it's a matter of, you know, again, coming together, because what we create in the end is better than the together, what we create is better than the sum of its parts. And you know, I agree, life is too short. You know, and ultimately, there are things that are happening way up there at a different level that you and I down here, we don't have any control over. And I used to, it used to bother me, because I used to go to bed thinking, I want to change the world. You know, I don't want to die without changing the world. And then I had this epiphany that, you know, I go into my community and the world that I impact, the people that come across my path, that is my world. So how do I positively impact that? How do I draw out the creativity in them? How do I feed the passion that they have for whatever it is that they're doing? You know, that's the mark I want to leave on the world. And there are so many people who have passions and who are creative, and they just don't know how to channel that in a specific direction so that they can get it done.
Right.
And that's where I come.
And not every book, I mean, a lot of people, and we talk about this a lot, people think, I'm going to write this book, I'm going to publish it, and it's going to sell a million copies. They don't think about writing the book's the easy part. Marketing and selling your book is the hard part, and they're not salesmen. And you have to become, just because you're an author, it doesn't mean you're going to be a best-selling author and sell a million copies. It's a you know, shot in the dark. You might get lucky, but it's like 0.01%, you know. So you've got to be a salesman, and you've got to look at it realistically and think, oh, okay, I'm going to have to put some work into this after it's wrote. You know, I'm gonna have to put some work in here. I'm gonna have to get people around me that can help me, that can counsel me, and that's where your tribe comes in too. People just have unrealistic expectations.
Right. Well, and that's part of the reason I have part of my job is because, you know, I'm the only one that I know of that's going to writing conferences and teaching the business part of book writing. You know, it's not, you know, you go to a writing conference and everything's about writing and publishing, writing and publishing, writing and publishing. Well, that's all well and good, and that's important, but you still got to think, again, it's changing that mindset that once you know, you don't have to market after the book is published. And in fact, if you wait to start marketing after the book is published, it's too late. You know, you need to think about your market and your marketing niche and how to create that fan base while you're writing the book or before you start writing the book. And that, again, that's why I have a job, because I go out and I teach people, how do you think, not just as a writer or a published author, but how do you think as an authorpreneur? How do you turn your passion and your skill into a business?
And not just a hobby, you know.
And that's how you get a gale force wind into your sails as an author.
There you go.
I like that.
Did you just call me a blowhard? I'm just kind of, never mind. We'll move on.
Ignore it, Dale. Just keep going.
I get funny on this show. It's a very fun show.
Okay, yes, well, yes. We'll let you continue to be a legend in your own mind. Then we won't interrupt. I'm sorry, you owe me a kick in the butt for that one. That was unfair. But,
no. Stephen claims he is the wind. Stephen is the wind. So there you go.
Oh, there's so many wrong directions I could take that. I'm just going to stop. So.
Right along.
Oh man.
The wind in your sails is a good thing when you're on the ocean and you have a sailing vessel and you're sitting there with no wind behind you because you haven't gotten anybody with your tribe yet. So yeah, it's good to have wind in your sails. Yes.
It is. It really is. Well, you know, and so many people, you know, they're looking for the wind and they don't know how to find it or where to find it, or they find it, but they don't know how to harness it for their benefit.
Right.
So that's marketing.
Right. That's it. And the thing, and everything changes and everything cycles, and what used to work doesn't work now. And we know we've talked about that before, and with the whole Facebook thing, like it used to, you know, you can make graphics, you can put it out there. A lot of people seen it now. Me and Stephen go back and forth on this, but I think it's a waste of time to make a bunch of graphics. You need some, of course, but to sit around and just to make a bunch of graphics and flood Facebook, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work because not that many people see it anymore. You know, it has to be shared and shared and shared. And like Daniel said, you know, you might have 6,000 followers and maybe 100 will see it and actually click on it or like it, you know, or they'll just click on it and maybe 3 will actually, you know, go to the website and actually look. It's finding your target audience, and that's who you put your effort and time into, is that target audience.
You take time and care to put forward, you know, the best, you know, presentation that you can. So, that's what I mean. We do go back and forth, but my argument is, yeah, when you do go out there and do present something visually, you do it well, though. You don't just throw something out.
Yeah, you do
there.
It well, but right, no, God,
well,
no.
And you got to keep it interesting. It's kind of like a relationship. You know, you don't want to come into social media and all you do is videos. You don't want to come to social media and all you do is funny memes. You don't want to do just text. You don't want to just every time somebody gets something from you in their feed, it's all about sell. There are different art forms that you can use. A lot of people don't have people on social media. They're afraid, well, if I talk about this person, then everybody's going to go over there. Well, you know what? We should be building each other up and cross-marketing and cross-pollinating each other's marketplaces. So when you're using social media, use the different types of communications tools and formats, and don't just say, well, everybody says video is the big thing, and so every day you're producing a video, and after a while it's 1 minute of you not saying anything I really care about. You know, be relevant, be relational, be informational, and don't be all about the sale. People buy based on emotion and based on that relationship connection. So I don't care if you got the best book in the whole wide world. All you do is sell, you're not going to sell anything because people aren't going to care because they don't know who you are and they don't care about you and they don't know that you care about them. So why bother?
Right on. That's it. That's so true. That is so true. Michael, do you have anything to add to that one? Because Michael is so good about, he has his fan base, and they are faithful fans too, let me tell you. And so do you have anything to add to that?
No, I totally agree with her. I always try to do a mix of things and not be sell every day and not be funny every day. I do a mix of informational as well as I'm all for building up like authors, whether they be Apex or Simon Schuster or whatnot. If a book is good, if an author is good, I'm all for pitching them. A Stephen Zimmer novel every now and then. I totally agree. It's like if you are just hitting one note again and again and again, people will learn to tune you out.
I agree.
Oh, I like that. I'm a big music fan, so I like that one note. Ooh. Think about, you only have, 8 notes and how many different types of beautiful music there is. Anyway, that's just a tangent because I love music. I was created to be in the audience because I can't sing and I can't play an instrument, but I love music. So, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Don't be just one note.
That's
right.
That's it. You can't be. You really can't be. And that's where you get Daniel, please share with her your today thing. Please, she is going to love this.
Uh-oh.
One
Daniel?
Day
yeah.
to 2 days. You can always say, I will do this one day. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah, we're listening.
Yeah.
You can always say that you're going to do something one day. One day never comes, but today is here today. So you can do something for whatever your desire is today, but you can never do it one day.
That's it. Be
Amen.
A today
Preach
person.
It, brother.
That's it.
Yep,
be a today person.
I love it. Be a today person.
Isn't that nice?
Yep.
I love it.
I like that. I like that very much. Well, gee, we should have done that an hour ago, and then we wouldn't have had to go through all this other stuff. That's all the wisdom anybody ever needs. You buried the headline, guys. Oh, Lordy.
Daniel,
I knew Arlie would like that. That's it.
What was that?
Bam.
I said, Daniel, drop the mic and leave.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. Yep.
It's so true. It is so true. Yeah, don't put off. And people, don't be scared to get into the water. You know, a lot of people, they have this brilliant idea for a book, but they are scared, you know. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
Get out there and get out
well,
there
and And, you know, fear is a very, very powerful emotion, but, you know, it really is our choice on how we deal with it. And, you know, I do a lot of speaking about choices, and people are always surprised when I say, you know, doing nothing is a choice. It is in your control to do nothing. It is a choice. But, you know, fear can either propel us forward or it can keep us stuck. And, again, it's a choice. If you're happy living and rolling where you are, whether that's hot sand or, you know, cold mud, or it's just there, then by all means do it. That's your choice. But if you're afraid of something or of doing something, then, again, don't go it alone. Ask for help. And don't let fear win. Let the fear propel you through and forward so that you win. You get to the goal that you ultimately get to set for yourself. It is your choice, you know. Which reminds me of the old joke that, do you know how to survive a bear attack?
Mm-hmm.
You just don't be the last one in the group that's running away.
That's
good advice.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
You know,
I like
so
that.
Just. So
it's
anyway,
like
so yeah,
be,
so.
I don't have to be faster than the zombies. I just have to be faster than you.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So,
yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
That's it. That's right. You know, fear can only win if we let it win. And most of the time, fear really does cover up something else, like lack of skill, or or lack of time, or all of those things are real barriers in people's minds, but they're not insurmountable. And that's what I love to talk to people about and work with them on, is that, yeah, those fears are real, but you know what? I know how to overcome those fears. I can help you. You just have to trust me. Take my hand, and I will walk you through that fear, and we will figure out what it is you want instead, and then step by step, we will get that done until you look up one day and you're holding a book cover with your name on it. Ta-da!
Uh-huh. Love it.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, is there anything that we have not covered that you were wanting to cover tonight, Arlene? I want to make sure we cover any and every topic that you were hoping to cover.
Well, I would just encourage people to, find me on social media. I would love to communicate with them. I would love for them to ask me questions. I'm on Facebook, Arlene Gale, and then my business page is Book Writing Business. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. My website is Book Writing Business. I would encourage them to go to the bottom of the homepage and download my website, Facebook, and see if there's something there they can learn from it. Go to my website. I do workshops all the time. The business of book writing. I also do book writing coaching workshops where we actually create the foundational marketing plan and outline your book. I'm passionate about what I do. I love the people I work with. I'm doing this little conference in October. Anybody know about that?
You
that
are.
Imaginarium thing? Yeah.
Yes,
doing that.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm very, very excited about that and meeting you all and meeting Holly. And I'm going to be talking about the business of book writing and helping set people up for success. So connect
exciting.
On my website or on social media, and they'll get to learn more about my role in the conference and what you all are doing there. I mean, I'm really excited about it. October can't come soon enough. I'm ready to go.
I know.
So just connect with me. I love what I do, and I love teaching. So let me know if there's any way I can help you. You mentioned your press. If there's something you need or some question you have for me, or if there's a way I can help you in any way, I would love to talk to you about that. I love what I do, so let me help you.
We need a lot of help.
Let me do my
we
work.
We need a lot of help.
Well, I meant professionally.
We really do. But, yeah, we some of us, yeah, we need a lot of psychiatry help. But, we do have a psychiatrist. Yeah, we do, actually.
Bring Lacey into this.
Yes, Lacey Marie. She actually don't write for us yet. But she hasn't wrote anything for us yet. But she's getting ready to have a baby. And I love her. And she is just the sweetest thing. But she is a clinical psychologist. And we tell her that we have taken her on. Because she thinks Michael and Daniel really need a lot of help, which I must agree. And so she...
She prays over my
She just wants to do a case study on me, hun. That's all.
And she prays for poor Michael because of his Ouija board rug and it's, things in his office.
Oh, gosh. Okay, it sounds like you got the personal stuff covered. If you need any personal let me know.
Now we need business stuff. Yes, you can help us a lot.
Yeah, now business stuff.
Lot.
Yes.
We are always, we are eager, we are go-getters, we're always looking for new ways to gather people, so.
Oh, yes.
We definitely are going to touch bases, and we definitely like to have you come back and join us before October.
Well, talk again.
That would be fabulous.
If anybody out there needed a reason before now to come to Imaginarium, chance to talk to Arlene is has to be up there at the top of the list.
True.
Yeah,
that's
and I know
true.
A lot about a lot of different creative topics. Some people would say I know a lot enough to be dangerous in many of them, and I guess I can kind of own that.
There you
but
go.
There's just you know, so many different things. You know, I have people who are writing books who want to turn them into screenplays, and it's a very different animal. A screenplay is written very differently than a book, or they want to go from a screenplay to a book. I mean, there's no end to the depth of the piles of stuff I know or I'm willing to talk about and learn. So come to Imaginarium. Let's sit down and talk about what you do, and teach me something or ask me a question. Let me teach you something. And, you know, we're going to make the world a better place one book at a time.
Yeah, apparently Holly and Arlene are going to co-host my the roasting of Stephen session at Imaginarium, too.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Oh, that just gave me goosebumps. Oh,
I like this.
I'm a foot taller now, looking forward to that.
Well, I'm 6'1", so I'm not going to get a foot taller. But
well, if I get a foot taller, I'm still not going to be able to look you in the eye. But, you know, I can try.
Bring the kindling and fire pit.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are going to have a lot of fun. And like Michael said, you know, if you didn't have a reason before, you do. You have a very good reason now to come, because yeah, your knowledge is very important in our world, and
yes.
And we have some things to offer,
important.
And you have a lot to offer. You know,
well,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about kind of personal trainer earlier, but a gym had a logo out there that a motto that was no excuses. And so make 2019, so we're in the new year, we're all about resolution. Make this the year of no excuses for your writing.
Oh,
there
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and you know, so many people don't, you know, they want to write a book, but they're so afraid that it's not going to be fun, or it's an isolationist project, you know, they have to be alone. You know what, just because you might write the book in an office with nothing but you and a computer doesn't mean that's all there is to it. I mean, we can, you know, get in a critique group or find other people that you can work with. Writing a book can be fun. I mean, it really is. And if you're worried about the isolationist factor, get over it. Come on, join us at Imaginarium.
There you go. There you go.
I like
right
it.
Right on.
I like it.
I do too. Well, I tell you,
well,
thank
Michael,
you so much.
Yeah, is there anything you want to cover, Michael and Daniel, before we wrap things up?
No, I think that was a good note to drop the mic on.
Well, the only thing I want to cover, considering roasting Stephen this year and everything, do I need to put together a full recipe, or is it going to be a full dinner with him as the main course, or what?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's getting bad now.
Is it wild deer or is it wild boar? How gamey is he?
Wild
he's
turkey.
A lion. He's a lion. So, yeah, it's pretty. He's got the heart of a lion. So, yeah.
And yeah, the liver of a wild turkey.
That's wild turkey.
Oh,
well, guys, this
oh,
has been
God.
Fun, and I think it's been very informative, and I think
thank
that
you so
given
much.
Your
absolutely.
Listeners a lot of good stuff. You ask great questions, and I'm so honored to be a part of it, and again, sincerely, if there's any way I can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Thank you.
You got it.
We appreciate
thank you, Arlene.
It, Arlene. Thank you so
and,
much.
And we will be back at you next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be coming at you with two guests, Misty Parker and Molly Daniels / Kenzie Michaels, as we explore the world of romance fiction. So thank you very much, everybody, and I will sign off now and turn it over to everybody to say their final good nights, and we'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.